It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
That's only different because John isn't here, but we continue on. As you said, he's gone, we're here. We will remain until 12. So let's talk, or at least get back to the Astros a little bit, mostly because we talked about the sound that Yordan's bat made when he hit that home run, but we didn't play it. So Yordan not only hits his, I believe, 35th home run, he also drove in the game-winning run in a 3-2 win for the Astros. They beat the Angels again. Late night heroics again for the Astros and late inning heroics. So they take the first two of that series. And we got Hayden Wesneski back from his major injury. He was pitching in the minors, but now he's ready to start. So he'll get going. He'll get his Astros season going tonight. And it's really good to have him back. He is the third piece of the Kyle Tucker trade. Paredes, Cam Smith, and now Wesneski. Could they all be out there at the same time? We'll see if that plays out. But that's tonight. What about last night? So it does help that there weren't many people in the ballpark. That is just standard fare when it comes to the Angels. But the sound that you're going to hear is still remarkable. It's Yordan hitting another home run and continuing to prove that he's the best hitter alive. Actively alive right now, of course, because Barry Bonds exists. But Yordan, great player, real shot at winning the MVP, and he keeps proving it on a nightly basis.
Yordan Alvarez crushes one high and deep. Forget about it. 44 just mashes the first pitch he sees tonight for his 35th home run of the year, and the Astros out in front 1-0.
That is courtesy of Space City Home Network, and that of course is Todd Callis. So you heard it.
What he did, what the baseballs did to him to make him so mad. That ball was destroyed.
Jeff Blum, adding on what we always love from Jeff Blum. So there it is. That was the home run that got the game going for the Astros, and the sound it makes is pretty special. It is, yeah, it's to a point where it goes viral. It's not just a Houston thing when Yordan hits a home run like that. It becomes a national baseball thing, and he did it again. And then once everyone had stopped paying attention to the game, he had the most important hit of the night. And by everyone, I meant nationally, because how many people are locked in on Angels at Astros? Not many. But we were, or at least I was. So I was up to watch Yordan drive in the run. Paredes was retired after that, and then four pitches later, the inning and game was over because the Angels had places to be. We had the conversation earlier about why Suzuki, their manager, would allow anyone to pitch to Yordan in that situation. He must be like me. Do I really still want to be here watching this game? Let's get it over with. Mitch Ferris was the victim for Yordan in the top of the knife. So the Astros are now just one game below 500. The closest they've been to that 500 mark since they were 6-7. Make your jokes if you like. That's good. Can they get over the hump? They're going to have to depend on Wesneski to do it, because at least to this point, the Astros lineup has not fared well against these Angels starters. The Angels are going to roll out Grayson Rodriguez. If you've never heard of him, me and you have something in common.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, I'm being a little, I'm being a little over the top.
Now he could walk into the studio right now.
And if he didn't wear a jersey with that name on the back, I would.
Dude, what are you doing?
Was.
Get out of here.
Yeah. No, I'm Grayson Rodriguez, tonight's starter. Then what are you doing here?
Whatever.
Get out of here. I wouldn't believe him, actually. So that is your next anonymous Angels pitcher that the Astros will have to deal with. And they have not done a great job dealing with those types. Although Urena's pretty good. But Reed Detmers handled them for the better part of the game. Thankfully, you had Peter Lambert, your best starter right now. And he did his job again.
I hope Grayson Rodriguez isn't listening to his hometown's radio station, because he is, or at least born in Houston.
Apologies. But
he went to high school in Nacogdoches, whatever. Okay.
That's not
You're
Houston.
From Nacogdoches, dude. On Wikipedia, it says he's born in Houston.
Okay. So there is a local tie, much like Wesneski, who will take the mound tonight.
Like, damn, in my own city.
It's not your city anymore, man. It's Wesneski City.
They're talking about G-Rod and like this?
No. Does anyone call him G-Rod?
Someone had to. At Central Heights High School in Nacogdoches?
I'm sure he got that nickname, but as far as a pro?
G-Rod.
Gray-Rod?
Gray-Rod. Gray-Rod's better.
I think Gray-Rod. I think Gray-Rod is
G-Rod
better.
G-Rod almost sounds like B-Rad
yeah.
from Malibu's Most Wanted.
Yeah, I would go with Gray-Rod if I was going to take on a nickname. But I guess so. We got two local guys tonight with Wesneski and Grayson Rodriguez.
What starts here changes the world.
Is that a tagline for some college?
The University of Texas, yes.
Yeah, okay. It sounded like straight out of a four-year institution.
On a pamphlet.
Yeah, certainly. Four-year decision.
Yeah.
What starts here changes the world.
Yeah,
Those are things that you see on a pamphlet.
We got Cy Fair versus Gray-Rod.
Sam Houston State versus – where did Gray-Rod go to college? Or did he go to college?
He bypassed
college. Got it.
Wesneski. Straight to the league. Well, it's straight to double
A. The minor leagues. Yeah. So Grayson Rodriguez on the mound tonight. All right. So you'll take the win and run with it. The Rangers keep winning. They beat Tampa earlier in the day, so you remain two games back. But – as it stands now, as we get closer to the trade deadline, which will be August 3rd, the Astros have positioned themselves to be slight buyers. If Wesneski pitches well tonight, that's another avenue you can go down as far as your starting pitching. But with Arrigetti on the IL and questions about Imai, the thought is if they could secure themselves a starting pitcher, that's a route they should go down while they're still trying to get themselves an outfield bat. As you think about it, Sean, do they get both, one, or none?
Is it a cop-out to be like, I think they probably acquire two, or they acquire both, but I'm not sure how much of a difference maker either of them are, or at least one of them. I think one of them, it's like, well, they did get someone who can start a Major League Baseball game, but I'm not sure if it's like the cavalry's coming kind of deal. You know, obviously.
So you're saying they get a body.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, could they – before Kikuchi ever pitched for the Astros, when they traded for Kikuchi, he had like a 7 ERA that year with the Blue Jays.
Became a lockdown star.
Yeah, he was – probably like sub 3 ERA. He was probably, I think he was in the 2s as an Astro. Like, could they get not that kind of production, but that kind of incoming talent?
And everyone's like,
they're
shrugging their shoulders. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then one of, you know, or they get the outfield version of that where we look and we're like, he's better than Lucas Spence. No, not Lucas Spence. Ethan Spence? What? Spence out there. Lucas Spence.
It's Lucas, I believe.
Yeah, or Taylor Trammell against lefties. It's like every time they throw the splits of Taylor Trammell versus lefties, I'm always like, there's no need for this. We get it. He's not good.
Guys.
He's batting like 0.09 against lefties.
Don't
I get it.
Don't continue the humiliation ritual of showing us how bad he is against lefties.
I got it.
Understood.
There's no chance of success if a lefty's on the mound.
And then he rolls one over to second base. I'm like, yeah, yeah.
That's what you told me. The numbers told me that was going to happen.
It's 0-88 now.
And so is my ability to watch his bats. Like, he's one of those guys, at least when it comes to left-handed bats, where the eyes are telling you the truth. Like, sometimes people say the eyes lies because the numbers will tell you something else. No. In his case.
No. Against lefties.
The lies. The eyes are telling you the truth. If whatever memory you have lines up with what actually are the numbers.
Now, against righties, I mean, he's pushing Yordan for the best hitter in baseball, you know? At least those two home runs he hit in whatever, late June, where it looked like absolute tank shots. Those, the eyes were lying, because
that's not who he is.
That is not actually his game.
Yeah.
Other than those two, you know, swings of the bat. But, I think that they can acquire both that, like, would be, you know. We're going like, I guess, yeah, sure, this is an upgrade. Because, I mean, the outfield is just such a mess right now, where it'd be hard for them to trade for a major league player that I'm not like, yeah, he's better than what they're trotting out there.
Another 0-for-4 for Cam Smith last night.
I know.
Uncompetitive swings.
We talk about left and center.
Uncompetitive swings, yeah.
We talk about left and center. Right's not that much better.
No. That's why they've been dubbed, whether it be across baseball or just here in the city, the worst outfield in baseball.
Yeah. At least baseball teams that are like,
actively trying to win.
I'll be honest, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess the Rockies are trying out guys that we want to trade for, so
they've got to be all right. Yeah, we've done the Moniak thing. We've seen the numbers outside of Coors.
And then McCarthy too, where it's like, I don't know about his home aways, but they have two outfielders that would be upgrades on the Astros. Maybe not Moniak, but, you know, we'll see with Moniak, but I don't think anyone's knocking on or calling Dana Brown's phone being like, hey, we're interested in Lucas Spence. What would it take?
I would agree.
Can you buy me lunch?
Just to take them off your hands.
Yeah, just think about getting
the
Chipotle.
Cash considerations are a Chipotle meal?
Yeah, send me $12.50. We're good.
Oh, speaking of meals, I believe today is National Wing Day.
Is it really? Why are we working?
Well,
you have the day off.
Well, don't you want to build up the appetite for National Wing Day? Now, the deals, I was going to save it for later, and I still will, but the deals aren't overwhelming, let's just say, as far as what you can get.
Times.
So these are some of the, we'll get more in depth, because why not? We've been talking about sports for 3+ hours. We can do a little National Wing Day at some point. The deals are from Wingstop, traditional wing place.
Like
Popeyes, got it. They've got a boneless and bone-in wings you can buy. Buffalo Wild Wings, Hooters, Zaxby's, Whataburger. It'll be their Whata Wings, as they call them.
Never had them.
I may have had them once. They're fine. Whatever. Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah. Wing Street.
Yeah. And 7-Eleven. They have a wing deal going today as well.
Thank you, 7-Eleven. I think we're good.
I've got other
options. No disrespect. I think we're good.
I appreciate the effort. We've got other options. So,
I'll
give you a rundown of some of those wing deals when we come back. Not when we come back, but at some point on the show today.
We can make that promise.
Yeah.
By hour five of us doing radio today.
Yeah. We will eventually get to wing deals, because at some point we got to break it up. When we come back, though, we will get to some football things. Yes, the Texans are out practicing. Yes, the CJ Stroud video is there for you to see. We started our day with it at right around 16 million. We were informed by KJ that before 9:30 hit, it was already at 17 million. If you don't know what we're talking about, if you don't have social media, you can type in @Houston Texans and get on Twitter. I don't think you even have to sign in. You'll be able to see it come up. It is CJ Stroud walking into the facility. And while it won't say anything about his play, none of it actually matters. The perception is that's a quarterback who looks like he should do or be doing anything else but playing football. It's not a great video. He looks like a seventh grader, a big seventh grader, but a seventh grader nonetheless. And that's me not delving deep into the comments, which are far more insulting.
Yes. Lance made sure to call in today at 7:05.
Yes. Lance is in Jacksonville, so, you know, it's 8 o'clock there when he called in. Never but he is off today speaking at some type of symposium for the Jags or something. Traitor. And
stay on that side.
Yeah. When the Texans whoop up on the Jags, you stay on that side. You can do Duval all you want, but stay on that side. He called in to talk about CJ.
And read the mean tweets.
That's the type of guy he is. That's the type of reaction it got. It's simply a guy walking into the facility, and it's at 17 million views. That's how you know it ain't a great video, at least for the perception of CJ Stroud. But we'll talk about actual football things because Nick Caserio spoke. We'll parse his comments and see if there's anything of note. And also, if there's any updates on what's going on out of Texans camp, we'll let you know about that. I would say we're just getting started. That's what I normally do, but that ain't true. We've been here for nearly 3.5 hours. We're fully into it. We will be back.
ESPN.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
First day of, well, at least camp where the guys are on the field, they all reported yesterday. That's where the CJ Stroud video comes from. But Nick Caserio spoke, and the topic of conversation wasn't the video. It was CJ's contract. That was one of the topics of conversation. He mentioned Tank Dell and his recovery. Tank Dell is going to be out there, not on any list, no pup list, none of that. It allows for him to take part in drills, do more than he normally would, but he won't be a part of 11-on-11. They're going to ramp him up to that. So not full go for Tank Dell, but at least back out on the field. His quarterback is out there, and the general manager was asked about the contract situation for CJ. Here's Nick Caserio on that.
Yeah, he had a really good offseason. It's probably the best offseason he's had since he's been here. He's had a good attitude. He's been consistent. He's got the right mindset. I'd say we've definitely had productive conversations over the course of the spring. So, I mean, there's a possibility that something could come to fruition. So we'll work through it and, you know, see what happens.
There's no indication from people who are reporting on a potential contract that anything is close. And that makes plenty of sense. So that's where we stand there. That's a wait and see thing for CJ Stroud. And I believe the season will tell the tale for not his future here, because there's still the fifth-year option after this season. But as far as a long-term extension, that is a prove-it type deal as it stands now for him. Despite his comments earlier this offseason where he thought he had done enough, the Texans at least don't feel like he's done enough to match what maybe his demands are as far as a per-year basis contract like. We had that discussion this morning about where he would slot. There's no way the Texans and CJ are in agreement on what that would be as it stands now. A contract's supposed to hurt a little bit for both sides, at least if it's one that both sides can live with. I think the Texans contract proposal would hurt CJ Stroud a lot if he is comparing himself to some of the other quarterbacks in the league and what they're getting. So we'll wait on that. And I guess we'll see how he plays. Some other NFL things. Yesterday we ended the show, I believe, talking about the Kyle Shanahan story being a journalism story. Maybe it has evolved into something else now with the reporting that, actually, by reporting, I mean the admission by Kyle Shanahan or the acknowledgement that the initial police report that we've all saw and quoted from really is wrong. The report said the woman was at fault. The other driver was at fault for the crash. Kyle Shanahan corrected the record. In fact, we have the sound from that. He pulled in some reporters from the local beat reporters to talk about it. What you're going to hear is Grant Cohn. He is a beat writer for the 49ers. If you know his reputation or don't, he could be considered a bit of a muckraker. He likes to dig up some things, start some things, says some things that may upset people with the 49ers or just even 49er fans. who want a more rosier picture of their team. Well, Grant Cohn and other reporters were brought into, I think, an office by, or at least a room by Kyle Shanahan, and he corrected the record. Here's part of that conversation relayed to us by Grant Cohn.
And, you know, he kept like crying. And he's like, I do this every day, and it's part of the side effects of having a concussion. I've never had a concussion before. And part of the reason I don't want to talk to the press yet is because I don't want to go up and just cry in front of everyone. But then he started talking about, like, look, the reason I brought you here is because, you know, I didn't think people were going to dig into this crash. But, Grant, you did, and some people have. And, Grant, your article that you wrote last night was just wrong. But I'm not upset with you because I see where you got the information. It was from the police, and their information was wrong. And that's why I brought you all in. I think he said, like, I was just going to bring in Grant, but then I wanted to be transparent with all of you and explain that this – the other driver, who is a 21-year-old girl, that they were trying very much to protect her and not release that information. But he was saying that she did nothing wrong. The police department said that he was holding a cell phone but that she was at fault. And he was like, no. She was not at fault. I was at fault. She didn't swerve into my lane. I swerved into hers. And I've been in contact with the family. I've been in contact with the father. I promised him that I wouldn't let anything happen to his daughter in the media. And this really upset me. It feels like people are going to start piling on her, and I can't let it happen. So that was the pretense for the whole thing.
So that's Grant Cohn. I think he was having the conversation with his father in the video. So there it is. The police report was incorrect. Kyle Shanahan takes blame, admits his fault in the incident. And maybe it ends there, but there are still people very upset with some of the media coverage surrounding it and what they deem as protecting the NFL coach and allowing relationships to cloud how things are reported. So no one was cited. No one's going to face any criminal charges as it stands now. And thankfully, as you heard, the 21-year-old woman who was driving the car was fine. So we don't have an injury on that side. Kyle Shanahan took the brunt of the injuries and the concussion you heard mentioned, the 40 stitches above his eye. If you go back to what we talked about earlier this week, we had the sound from Chris Sims where he talked about his good buddy thinking he might lose his eye, or at least if the crash had gone a little differently, he might have lost an eye because of the damage above his eye. So as it stands now, Kyle Shanahan will be limited in his participation as he deals with the symptoms of a concussion. And we'll see when the 49ers head coach can be back at full strength. I wonder if it changes his approach. I'm sure he was someone who treated concussion seriously, but I don't know that Kyle Shanahan will be in any mood to be rushing anyone back now that he has suffered one himself. Because he is relaying how terrible the effects can be and leading to him crying in some instances as he's trying to recover.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. I mean, you know, we talked about it yesterday. He was a college athlete, football player. Never having a concussion, obviously pretty lucky, even just to get that far and never have a concussion. It is interesting. Like, you don't think about, like, regular people having a concussion. He's still an NFL head coach, but we only ever think of it through the context of, like, all right, so is he going to miss next week's game, or is he going to be tough enough to play through?
Speaking of Texas players, Arch had a concussion and was back the next Saturday.
Yeah.
And we have discussed
built
how
different.
It is different how the built different or treated different, however you want to put it. We've discussed how the NFL handles those things.
Yeah.
You are almost definitely missing the following week as opposed to, vision's less blurry. The headaches have decreased.
Yeah.
Get on out there and play some SEC football. The NFL, because of lawsuits and other things.
A lot of lawsuits. A lot of money.
have decided that we are not really going to be in favor of having a player suffer a concussion one week and a diagnosed one and then play the following Sunday.
And it is, like, you know, it's different for everybody. It's one of those things where it's kind of it is still, as much research has been done, it's still a little bit of like,
sure,
the brain's just crazy sometimes. But yeah, it is interesting the detail, or the details changed, not even added, really. Just so there, the alteration of the story.
It's called a clerical error.
Clerical error.
Now, the conspiracy theorists are like, clerical error.
I know, right?
How are you blaming? How could that be a clerical error? That's why I say it goes maybe now from a journalism story to people wondering if if the coach is being protected for being, well, for nothing more than being the San Francisco 49ers head coach.
Yeah, because now you can really connect the dots of, okay, so this stays quiet for 10 days because someone in the police department was compelled to, actually, this wasn't Kyle Shanahan's fault. This was this 21-year-old girl's fault or woman's fault. And if they're going to change that, or if they're going to have that clerical error, maybe that's also how it stays hush-hush for almost 2 weeks. And it really starts to like, okay, so there's just, it's the classic like cover-up is worse than a crime kind of situation where I think if they come out and they're like, yeah, Kyle Shanahan got in a pretty serious car accident because he had a cell phone in his hand.
And he dropped it and started fishing for it.
Whatever it was.
That's what he has told people.
Okay.
He dropped it. He started fishing for it. He took his eyes off
the rim.
Yeah, he swerved into the
rim. It's like, honestly, if we just got that story 11 days ago, like, it doesn't make him look great, but it's also like, hey, you know, be more safe, but it kind of happens as long as the other driver's okay. Like, it's kind of okay. Now it's like the need to cover this up, or the desire to cover it up, is like, has made it a several day story where we're talking about like the corruption of the San Jose police or Santa Clara Police Department and all this stuff, where it's like, I don't know. I feel like it would just been easier to be like, on July 11th, being like, oh, wow, Kyle Shanahan got in a car accident. That's crazy. Because, you know, the cover-up makes you think he was drinking and driving. You know, like, the cover-up is like, what was going on? And if it's just a, you know, whoops-a-daisy.
Then... Yeah, and I think Chris Sims said he was coming back from some type of medical thing.
Yes, yeah. Was it like a back?
Something like
chiropractor.
That. Something like
chiropractor,
that. And as he was on his way to wherever.
Probably undid all the, can't imagine getting a car wreck.
It certainly appears when you have all the injuries run down that he felt worse after the adjustment than he did going in.
At least my back doesn't hurt.
Yeah. And
I have 40 stitches in my eye.
Everything else does, but my back is better. We know how bad a back injury can be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have seen what you said, that now people are wondering. Because the report is he was going 20 miles per hour. And that does that lead to the type of injuries he suffered with the airbag deploys for both drivers? And
it is head on.
And it's head on, and he takes that the brunt of the injuries, all the injuries really, and he's the one as hurt as he is for 20 miles per hour.
Again,
that leads to all the speculation because it wasn't so clean when it was first reported.
And if it was truthful from the beginning, we're not being.
This is not a thing.
We're not trying to connect dots.
Yeah, and now people want to connect dots from why the reporters didn't mention it, why the police got the clerical error, and I say it that way because that's how people are saying it. Why the police made that clerical error? All and we know at least from that podcast I was listening to, we played a clip from it, that Kyle Shanahan's been in touch with the family of the woman in the accident.
Yeah,
he said he had to come out and say this and let it be known as his fault because he didn't want her harassed potentially for injuring the 49er head coach. So there's a lot going on there. Just unclear about why it took so long for what now is being said is the truth to come out.
But doesn't the original police report, and I'm not, you know, this isn't really directed at anybody. This is just kind of like what a weird situation, whoever made the clerical error kind of thing of like, so if in the report it says what Kyle Shanahan has said and that he's at fault, why would the girl get harassed for injuring the 49ers head coach, which also is like a little bit of a leap of that would happen, but whatever. But it actually – she's more likely to get harassed in what actually happened where it was reported that she was at fault. That actually puts her in the worst position. Then it was Kyle Shanahan hitting this woman.
Yeah, but I don't know how the clerical error came about. That's all.
Again, the what Kyle Shanahan has said and the, you know, clarification that has happened with him and Sims and Grant Cohn, like, okay, this doesn't seem like that bad of a story. Or this doesn't seem like it necessitates a cover-up.
Nope.
The fact that there was some level of a cover-up does now lead me to believe that this is not the 100% the right story. Like, that is where we're at. And that's the classic cover-up's worse than the crime. Like, if this is what happened, this is not that bad. But the fact you felt the need to cover it up makes me think that this isn't what happened.
And you toss in how closely he's corresponding with the family of the girl. If it's just a simple accident, why is there, and she's not hurt, why does there need to be this level of communication outside of just exchanging insurance? But here we are.
Or the whatever police department's super incompetent. I don't know.
I don't know what's going on in Palo Alto. You don't hear
Palo Alto, not Santa Clara.
Yeah, we don't hear a lot about.
Sorry, Santa Clara. I'm sure you guys are.
We don't hear a lot about Stanford players getting in trouble.
No,
so you maybe don't.
The last time a Hellcat's been pulled over.
They likely probably devote more to Stanford swimming than they would football.
Katie Ledecky's Hellcat.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe Palo Alto's covering up everything. Stanford swimming program run amok. We know Tiger was there and didn't hear any stories when he was there. Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows what they're up to? What they've been up to for the last 35 years? But there it is. Hopefully, everything's okay.
I want to believe that.
But
this
people
is the...
aren't done with this because of all the things you just laid out over the span of the last 5 minutes or so. All right, we'll go to break. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Shot, this is a question, and for anyone else, this question is concerning whether you put a lot of stock into what NBA players say. A retired one in this case. A legend, even. If I told you an NBA legend said he views the Rockets as a serious contender to win the title, would you give that much credence? Sight unseen? Whoever. NBA legend, one of the best 15 players of all time.
One of the best 15 players of all time?
So yeah.
Was it Kevin Durant?
No.
Okay.
He didn't say that. There would be some bias there, certainly.
Yeah.
Would you give it any credence? Just think.
You hear that
information.
If I can't know who the player was, because it does make a difference.
I know, that's why I'm not giving you a player.
I think I'd make me feel slightly better. I think I would take, maybe it's just the I want to believe.
Sure.
It's July 29th. What's the harm in being like, this team can be a contender?
What if I then told you the NBA legend was Magic Johnson? And he used Twitter to tell us.
No.
Yes. Got him.
Okay. Did he list off 14 Western Conference teams?
Not 14. He wrote this. In the West, we know the Spurs and Thunder are favored. The Nuggets, Timberwolves, Lakers, and Rockets are all strong teams behind them. The Rockets will definitely be dangerous because Fred VanVleet will be back after missing last season with an injury.
Okay. Hey.
He does know.
What position does Fred VanVleet play?
Point guard.
And what does Magic Johnson, I think, knows a little something about playing point guard?
I would say that's the case.
Yeah.
So now that you've gamed it out, what about now?
Yeah. Ring number three coming.
Okay. There it is.
Thanks, Magic.
Magic believes in your Houston Rockets.
What were the other teams? I heard Timberwolves, Nuggets.
All the teams you would think. Thunder, Spurs, Nuggets, Timberwolves, the Lakers. They've done a lot this offseason. I don't know if they're real contender.
This is where it's like, it's Magic.
He did list the Rockets. I don't know if it was in order of how he thinks these teams would finish. But he did list the Rockets after the Lakers. But he didn't rank them. He just made a list.
You know, I can't get mad. They played 3 months ago.
And the Lakers beat them.
Yeah. Although, you know, some things have changed.
A lot of things.
The two best players on the Lakers that series aren't on the team anymore?
Very much.
And one of them's on the Rockets?
Very much.
Oh,
you going to give Marcus Smart over Luke Kennard?
Kennard was really good in the first two games. I Kennard was good in the first couple games. Marcus Smart was stronger in the towards the end of the series. Kennard's also not on the team anymore.
That's true.
He's in Phoenix.
Yeah, so. That's who I thought you were talking about.
So the three best players on the
in that series for the Lakers not on the team.
Is Hachimura's on the Clippers? Hachimura might actually.
The Lakers have ripped apart a team who won a series. He's gone too.
No dominating.
Nope. He's a wizard.
It's just Reeves, Luka,
and all the guys they signed in the offseason.
Bronny James,
Quentin Grimes. Yes, Bronny James is there, but they bring in Quentin Grimes. They bring in Walker Kessler. So it's a completely different Lakers.
Mamba Kalashvili.
Sure.
Sexton.
It led to all the conversations about the Lakers having too many white guys.
Snowtime Lakers.
Yes, the Snowtime Lakers. That used to be a reference to cocaine. Now
I know. Now
it's just the
because Jake LaRavia is on the. I don't know. Did they bring back LaRavia?
I think LaRavia and Connect are still there.
There we go.
They think they're the Celtics.
I know. It's going to be confusing when they play.
Yeah. Although the Celtics have their Baylors and their Paytons and their Hugos, as well. So we'll
never
see.
Mind. Everyone's going to be happy.
Yeah. So Magic thinks the Rockets are contenders based primarily on Fred, which is in line with how the Rockets feel.
Yeah, I actually, that is the most striking part. I joked about the Magic Johnson knows a thing or two about playing point guard. It is surprising to me that the only player that gets singled out for the Rockets is Fred VanVleet, not Kevin Durant, who's one of the 15 best players of all time with Magic Johnson.
Uh-huh.
So that's surprising to me. But, I mean, I was talking about it the other day off mic. It was just like they did win 50 games last year with, like, everything that went wrong. And it's like even just bringing in Marcus Smart on last year's Rockets team would have really helped things. Never mind actually getting the key to it all, the skeleton key for the entire franchise, Fred VanVleet. So, you know, I'm not saying that they can compete with those top two teams, the Thunder and Spurs, but there is like a little bit of, I think we're being a little dramatic with like the, oh my God, this team's in ruins. What happened? It's like, I still kind of think there'll be easily a playoff team. It's just the hill to climb to get to the finals seems much taller than it was this time last year.
And you speak to maybe some of the overreaction. Now, this is just Cauchy. And also, you know what? BetMGM is in the same line of thinking. Over under on Rockets wins, what do you think?
48.5.
You're one game off. 47
okay.
and a half.
I was between. I went like, I think because if it was 47, I think I'm going over. 48, I was like kind of a toss up. But okay. Yeah, I think that's, I mean,
so they did
they win won 53 last year.
So they did win
52?
I think they 52 two years in a row. I think they won their 52 games last year. Now, they did have unbelievable health from Kevin Durant. He was just available, which is not what we expected going in. And then, but you counter that with the fact that Steven Adams and Fred miss all that time.
Yeah.
If you get, I won't say the inverse because you can't have KD be out for that amount of time. But if you get 65 games from KD this year, because they go, you know what, you broke down in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So we're going to lessen your load, but we're going to get 65 to 70 games from Fred and maybe 55 to 60 from Steven Adams. Does that formula get you to 50 wins? I think it can.
Yeah. I think that still can't. Like, get it, because what you're saying is, like, getting less Kevin Durant, but way more Fred VanVleet. Does that balance out? And I think, you know.
But even it's just.
Not perfectly, but
you just allow, because this team, you want to be successful in the regular season, but this is a team that has bigger aspirations. And if you can make sure your best player is available. You hope that they do that. And maybe, you know what? Maybe it isn't even that amount of games that Kevin Durant doesn't play. It's just less minutes. Maybe
you're
not playing him 37. Maybe he's not a minutes leader this year.
Yeah.
Maybe that is the tack they take to make sure he's ready to go once the playoffs start.
He just needs to not be top five in minutes. I think that's the goal. That's the goal for me for this Rocket season. Have Kevin Durant be, I'd say, outside the top 10 in the NBA in total minutes played. I think that would be a successful season if he's not in the top 10.
I would hope that none of the guys are in, but I just imagine Amen will be.
I think
Amen and Jabari, I just assume, will be.
Yeah,
up
Amen
there.
Jabari, definitely. But and then Shingun, maybe, if he plays a lot.
And Fred?
Yeah. No. God, no.
Well, they did it. I know. Hopefully.
Tore his ACL.
Hopefully they've learned the lesson.
He tore his freaking ACL.
Hopefully they've learned the lesson.
And he's 30 years old.
Don't do this. Don't
Five
do that.
10.
Don't do that to Fred again. Don't make him a minutes leader again.
Yeah.
If Reed Shepard isn't at a point, along with Marcus Smart, to keep that from happening, you got a real problem.
That's what I'm saying. On second night of back-to-backs, if you can't roll out there with Smart and Shepard and Coach Fred VanVleet back in his coach assistant coaching role on the sideline, then then what are we doing, guys? Like, you gotta be able to again be a slightly upgraded version of last year's team. You have to be confident that you can do that, and I think they can. But one thing with, I mean, this is more of like, it's less about the Rockets specifically, more about the league overall, is that like less teams are going to be tanking, and in theory, zero teams are going to be tanking. And so those games where you get to play a team that's like, obviously, like the Jazz, where they're just sitting their starters in the fourth quarter in a game that's semi-competitive through three, like you're not actually going to get that. Never mind that the Jazz actually got better, but just whoever the 13 seed in the West is going to be running through the tape a little bit more than they were. So maybe there's like a win or two off from every team in the league. At least at the top, just because the bottom isn't as bad as it was in past years.
Yeah, the Eastern Conference gets a lot of attention for what that conference appears it's going to be.
Yeah.
And that takes into account a trade that can't be finalized yet with Kawhi Leonard. He's supposed to be a Raptor, but until that investigation concludes, he is not a Raptor. So just remember, Kawhi Leonard's over there too in the East for that bloodbath of a conference.
Yeah.
When that investigation eventually finds its conclusion.
Is it better than the West?
From top to bottom?
Yeah. I think the 7 seed is better in the East than it is in the West. It's normally not the case.
I mean,
even though, like, the 5 seed you're talking to being better.
I think the separator are the Pacers what people think they were because of that playoff run? Or are they more like the 5 seed they were going in? And then you have to think about, is Halliburton going to be healthy?
That to me is
because
the biggest thing.
Because if he's not right, then that's a team that's in danger of not making the playoffs. They're just, I get it. They traded for Zubac. They have Halliburton. But what Halliburton are they getting in year one in his return? Because if he's not the engine of everything they do, then people penciling in the Pacers as simply a playoff team and maybe even a team that has a chance at a first round home court advantage. I think that's a little premature, but he's got the rest of the offseason and then certainly the season to work himself into shape. All right. We will go to break with that. I would say 1 hour done, but it's more like 4, just how it is today.
Feels like 4.
No, it's definitely 4.
Oh,
it definitely is 4. I'm always here from 7 to 11 at least.
Yeah.
But in a different role, and Sean's been here filling in because Lance is in Jacksonville speaking on behalf of James Gladstone about something, whatever he's
Duval.
Up to.
I actually got it. That was Lance from this morning. I was able to grab that.
If he comes back in teal gear, we're going to have a real conversation because I know John will accept gear from anyone as long as they're not the Dodgers.
Should. He should
if
come.
Lance makes an appearance in a Jaguars hat or a teal a pullover, then you know.
He's dressed like a Jaguar. He has the face paint like those London fans.
Yeah, yeah. That's too much.
He has the whiskers.
Any Jaguars paraphernalia, we know we got a trader in our midst.
Yeah.
All right. Hour 2 or hour 5, however you want to put it. We'll do that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.